I am Plata on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Amy Starkey joins me now. The stage and film director is working on her first feature film, In Her View. It's a movie that's relevant and that brings women's voices to the fore, especially in light of its subject matter, bringing abortion into the light. The decision, the ramifications, and its effect are illuminated in this film. I'll get Ms. Starkey to tell us about her film, one that she's written and directed. We'll talk about the themes therein and her work in the arts. The Twitter handle is at Amy E. Starkey, and the website is at inherviewfilm.com. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Amy Starkey. Ms. Starkey, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It was our, our mutual friend George Froelich who got us in touch.
Yes.
You did his podcast, I guess, in the fall, is that right?
Actually, last summer.
It was August
of last year that I spoke to George.
Yeah, so George told me about you. I guess I saw him in the fall. And
yeah.
He told me that, because he'd gone to see Dracula, which you directed.
Yes.
In Deep Cove, is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. We're going to talk primarily about your film, but this is fascinating to me that I guess it's the reality of your business, in that you have to do numerous things throughout the year. I mean, whether you work in film or you work in theater, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, variety of different projects, you know, cross our paths, and you follow your muse, really.
Yeah, and this is stuff that you said, because you studied film and television in the
mm-hmm.
States, right?
Mm-hmm. In New York, yeah.
Yeah. What even though it is a rough way to make a living, and
mm-hmm.
especially in this part of the world, because we
mm-hmm.
talk about how expensive it is,
mm-hmm.
the creativity part of it, I guess that's why you do it, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I remember an old comment by, you know, a famous actor who said, and I actually don't want to quote the actor anymore, because
mm-hmm.
although he's very well respected in the industry, you know, he's since been caught up in the Me Too movement.
Right, right.
So, but I do always remember something he said, that he loves, you know, he loves acting so much. He loves the creative work so much that he would, you know, do it no matter what. So whether he was, you know, in movies, making millions of dollars, or working in his local community theater, nothing would stop him from doing the work that he does. And that, you know, kind of characterizes my life as well. You know, I've been through a lot of different phases of my life, and I just always, you know, go back to my creative work, regardless of my situation.
And in the theater, I mean, that's still something that you do regularly, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, I've taken some time off now, of course, because I've been focusing on developing and producing this film. But,
uh-huh.
Yeah, the theater is definitely in my blood, and it's something I'll probably always return to. But right now my focus is film, I have to say.
Yeah, is there a difference between directing in the theater and directing in film? I know that's a stupid question, but not the first that I'll ask you in this interview. But the title is the same, the job description, director.
Mm-hmm.
But there obviously is a difference, isn't there?
No, big difference, for sure. I mean, just simply the technical aspect of the job is much different. You know, there's an intimacy with the camera, and because you're so much closer to, well, in many cases, in terms of the actors anyway, you're closer to the actors than in theater. But you also, you know, have multiple chances to get it right too.
Mm.
So you can take after take, but it's far more technical in terms of, you know, finding angles and you know, what direction to take the shot from. It's a much more visual medium, whereas theater is much more about the dialogue. There's certainly visual elements to theater, of course. There's
yeah.
lighting and set design and so forth. But, you know, theater is primarily about the dialogue, whereas film is more about the pictures. And, I mean, obviously with a film like In Her View, it is definitely about the stories,
uh-huh.
But you're telling those stories through a visual medium.
No, In Her View, that's the name of the film.
Right.
This is something that you wanted to make for a long time, right?
Long time, yeah.
Yeah.
Long time. I've been working on this script since, I think I've honestly lost track of exactly when I started, but I think I started writing it around 2007, 2008, something like that. My daughter was very young at the time. That's all I remember. That's how I gauge when it must have been.
Yeah.
She was probably about two. So, yeah, 2007, 2008.
It centers around abortion, which is something that a lot of us don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've seen of it so far, and I can only assume after seeing the film, mm-hmm. it'll give people who've seen it a sort of language to talk about abortion. I mean, was that a goal, say?
Absolutely. I certainly hope that's what we can achieve here. It's really about giving permission to people to talk about, particularly women, to, you know, shed the shame that so many women still feel around abortion and, you know, feel comfortable talking about it and telling and sharing their stories, because I really think that that's how we're going to achieve the empathy that we need to, you know, to move beyond the divisiveness around this subject matter by just humanizing and the women who have abortions and talking about it, about all those gray areas that make people so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's too much, and it's been too much of a political issue and a religious
mm-hmm.
issue
mm-hmm.
That I think not talking about it has caused a lot of harm for a lot of people.
I agree, and that's exactly why I wanted to make the film.
Yeah. What you can tell us as much as you'd like about what happens in the film, because you know, I've seen bits of it, and I know sort of what it's about. But I mean, it's a good way for the filmmaker to tell us as much as she'd like about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, it is, the structure of the film is a film within a film.
Mm-hmm.
So primarily, it's about a woman who has not had an abortion setting out to make a documentary film about women's abortion stories. So that's sort of the framework of the film. We start out, you know, meeting this documentary filmmaker and watching her as she listens to other women telling their stories about abortion.
May I interrupt you? Has she got a preconceived notion about how she feels about abortion going into this?
Sure. She's, you know, she's a modern feminist pro-choice woman, you know, so she goes into this project wanting, you know, with largely the same aims as myself, you know, to amplify the conversation, give women a voice and tell women stories. And she considers herself pro-choice, absolutely. And then she meets a woman who's story kind of goes against the popular narrative of the pro-choice movement, which is that, you know, 95% of women don't regret their abortion. And you know, that's a very true statistic.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I really just wanted to kind of talk about the gray areas, because that kind of a statistic can, you know, actually have the effect of shying women away from, you know, perhaps talking about their feelings around their abortion.
Yeah.
This is something that I, you know, really dealt with when I was writing the film. And, I mean, I sat on this script for a number of years, as you can tell, as I, you know, started writing it way back in 2007. Here we are, 2018, and I've only just completed the short version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I myself was afraid to have this conversation, because I do consider myself pro-choice, and I don't necessarily want to start a conversation that would fuel the argument that, you know, abortion hurts women and, you know, and they regret it. And, you know, that's a really scary conversation to have, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of what, that was really the central focus, the theme that I wanted the film to revolve around. You know, these gray areas where the reasons why women have abortions and how they feel about it, and really dig into some of the meat of those conversations that quite often get lost in the debate as we're, were, you know, grasping for the most extreme arguments, the most extreme stories to tell that prove our point of view.
So even whether you're pro-choice or not, I mean, mm-hmm. you certainly learn a great deal more, and we'll get a lot out of watching this film and seeing the points of view that this filmmaker of yours in the movie seeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope so. I hope that it will, you know, sort of, as I say, cover the spectrum of women's experiences with abortion,
uh-huh.
Just to get beyond the simplification of the narrative, you know.
And it is a story. I mean, it's everyone's story, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just
it
every woman's story as well.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I set out to kind of talk about every woman's story as opposed to just one woman's story, and really how talking about abortion and humanizing the women that have abortions, listening to their stories, can have an impact on our own view.
Yeah, and listening, mm-hmm. understanding better. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's incalculable almost the benefit of that.
I think so. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Well, what do you think you want to, in the conversations that we're not having, what should we be talking about, do you think?
Well, the impact on women's lives and the reasons women, you know, come to this place in their life where this is a choice that they're faced with, you know, the reasons are myriad, you know, and when you really do start listening to women's stories, you know, there's so many variations on that. There's so many different reasons why a woman would find herself with an unplanned pregnancy and facing, or with a planned pregnancy and still facing, whether to have an abortion or not. You know, every woman's story around this subject is unique and different. And I think that's really what I'm trying to get at, is that, you know, there aren't any simple answers. You know, there aren't any right answers to this question. It's really just about listening to women and understanding where they're coming from, their life stories that have led them to this point, and all of the factors that go into the choice that they make either way.
And there's such a stigma that even using the word, I mean, has been difficult for a lot of people already.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
when you attach it to someone else, a woman especially, I mean, it right away people's misconceptions or preconceptions are drawn, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And it can be particularly triggering for a lot of women. So, you know, just simply using the word abortion, using some of this language, you know, like choice,
uh-huh.
like stigma, like regret, you know, using a lot of this language does kind of give knots in women's stomachs, you know. And then, as you mentioned earlier, if you bring in the politics and the religion,
yeah.
well, it heightens those emotions even more. And I guess what I'm really trying to do is, while we're, you know, always going to have emotions tied up in these stories, and yes, I do want to appeal to people's emotion and humanity in the film, but I guess what I'm asking of people is to, you know, try and set aside, you know, their big emotions and just listen with some empathy to women's stories and realize that, you know, every story is different,
yeah.
and there are no, there's no real generalization.
And every story is valuable to the rest of us, whether you're a woman or not, right?
There you go. Absolutely. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking as I was preparing for the chat that it's always been difficult to be a woman when you have to deal with a lot of the stuff around you. You know what I mean? And you look at what's happening in the politics and in the culture now.
Mm-hmm.
It more so, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we've definitely reached sort of what's the word, a threshold or a milestone moment, you know, in our culture where I feel hopeful that, you know, some real change is coming because of the conversations that are being had. And I do feel like this film is, the time for this film has come, you know. I think people are finally willing to have these conversations, like the Me Too conversations, you know, and women, that people are finally craving women's stories and going, yes, we need to hear these stories in order to amplify the very necessary conversations we need to have as a culture.
How much of the film have you shot so far?
17 pages of a 100-page script.
Yeah. And I guess, we spoke a moment ago of the economics of it all. I mean, it is really costly to make a film, right?
Very expensive.
Yeah. And so you did have an Indiegogo campaign.
We did. We've had a couple of phases. So I had a very small private campaign on a private website last summer when we were shooting the film, and we got, you know, a few donations from family and friends and so forth. And then just recently, we just finished, just this past week actually, we finished a second phase, which was held on Indiegogo. And we raised about $4,000, which should cover the post-production costs of the short. And the next phase, next month, actually starting in June, we're going to launch another. Once the short film is completed, we're going to, you know, hopefully enter some film festivals and get a little bit more exposure for the short film and launch a fundraising campaign to shoot the feature.
So the feature film, you mentioned a moment ago, was about 100 pages, is that right?
Yes.
And so is that the standard size of a script for movie that we see, say, on television or in the theater?
Feature films typically are an average of about 90 to 120 pages.
Is it a minute a page usually?
That's sort of a loose estimate. Sure.
And if people want to look into the Indiegogo campaign that you'll be starting in June, I guess the best way is to go to the website, inherviewfilm.com.
That's right. Visit the website, and we've got, you know, our social media pages up and running. We're posting news and items about the campaigns and the production of the short on a regular basis. So you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at In Her View Film.
Yeah, and your own personal Twitter is at Amy E. Starkey.
That's right.
We began the conversation about what it's like to work in this community and so on. This project for you obviously is an important one for you, but I mean it's important for everyone else. You do have a lot of people who have been with you working on the film, and not just the performers that we see on the screen, but behind the screen as well, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, it takes a village, I guess, to make a movie, to use that phrase, right? Yeah.
It does. A lot of collaborators. I'm very grateful to them. Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, though, you're the writer and the director. It's your project, so it can be a very, I don't say lonely is the right word, but it's a very personal project.
It is.
Time,
it's a passion
it?
Project of mine, and I'm heading up the project most definitely. I have a lot of people who care about the project and the subject as well as I do, and they're helping me out. But sure, I'm the executive producer. I am heading up this project and making it happen because my personal passion project, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's a story that as we've established, is something that you've been thinking about working on for a very long time. How do you keep motivated at it? I mean, because not only because it's been taken so long, but I mean, it's also very tiring with all the work that you have to do. With all, you know, you not only write the thing, you direct the thing, you're casting the thing. As a director, you're in charge of a myriad of decisions, right?
Well, you know, passion project is such a great term. It's personal to me. It is based on my own personal experience. And, you know, I just feel very strongly, as I said before, particularly at this time in our culture, I feel strongly on a couple of points. A, getting women's stories out there, period, but especially, you know, destigmatizing abortion is very important to me, allowing women the freedom to talk about their abortion without shame. That's very important to me. And I should mention, actually, I was really inspired by an organization out of California called Exhale Pro Voice. It's an organization that was started back in 2000 by Aspen Baker, and she really coined the term pro-voice in terms of, you know, women's storytelling and destigmatizing abortion. That was sort of her mandate, to allow women the freedom to talk about their abortions without shame. And so that's something that Exhale has been doing for many years now. And, you know, I kind of latched on to that idea. It really inspired me, and that was really how I kind of framed my screenplay. And a portion of all the funds that we do raise in our fundraising campaigns will be donated to Exhale Pro Voice and Planned Parenthood. So, of course, the subject matter is really important to me, but also, you know, the changing culture of the film industry as well. You know, a lot of is being said about the hashtag Time's Up movement as well. And, again, giving women voice to tell their stories. So increasing the representation of women in film and, you know, and the creative arts in general. Telling women's stories, getting women behind the camera, women writers, directors, producers. So that's what keeps me going, because, you know, I've got to be part of amplifying women's voices in our culture.
It makes for a better culture, does a better, you know, entertainment stage and screen.
I think so. More balance, sure.
Definitely. Yeah, and then the kinds of stories that we need to hear too, I think, and your film is at the center, I guess it exemplifies.
Thank you. Yeah,
just what needs to happen. Now, I don't want to get into what's in the film, because I mean people should see it when it's done. but you mentioned that it's inspired by your own personal experience. I don't want to get into that either. But I because it's stuff that happened years ago. Now that you've been thinking about it for as long as you have, having written a screenplay about it and dramatizing it as you are with other actors, does your own past? I mean, does it make it clearer to understand? Does it make it, say, easier to deal with in one's own mind? Say,
That's a great question. Certainly, I think, you know, a lot of artists do work through their own, you know, regrets or feelings around things that happened in their lives by writing about them. I think, you know, that's a pretty common theme, you know, for artists. So it's interesting what happens when you start telling your own story in such a tangible way. It really does help objectify it for you, in the story, make it more objective for me. I can only speak for myself. You know, now it's less about me and more about, as I said, every woman's experience. You know, so it may have started with, you know, my own personal experience, but it's definitely taken on a life of its own and allowed me a broader perspective as I've told the story, certainly in, you know, researching and having a lot of conversations with women and online, you know, I have been known to get sucked into online debates about abortion, and it really did, you know, sort of fuel the perspective that I brought to the film. And I can say that, you know, I do empathize with other points of view, you know, and I can understand the high emotion that people bring to this subject. I've listened to enough people. So yeah, it's definitely given me a broader perspective on my own experience. And at this point, you know, the film is personal, of course, but it's not really about me anymore.
Because you get into these debates with people online about the subject, you come at it from one perspective, and then you're engaging with people who have a different point of view. Does the passage of time make it easier for you to, say, empathize with their side?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah.
Does it also frustrate you that I mean, we thought 40 years ago that the debate over abortion was sort of, I don't know, settled is the right word, but I mean, you know, you thought with Roe v. Wade that you know, we were at a certain place. When you look at the politics, especially in the United States, that these things come up again. I mean, that must be awfully frustrating.
Well, again, it's motivating. You know, that is, you asked what keeps me going. Well, that was... it was when I started becoming aware of what was happening with the politics in the U.S. that really motivated me to pick up the script that I had written and actually start talking to people and trying to get it made, because, you know, I had written it, but I was, you know, busy raising my daughter as a single mom, and, you know, it didn't really feel like a realistic goal for me to actually try and produce a film at that time. And then I started seeing the state laws that were being passed once, you know, after the 2008 elections. You know, so right around 2010, there were a lot of laws being passed at the state level that were limiting women's access to abortion, and that really fueled my motivation. Really, you know, that's what's given me the persistence to keep going and try and get this made, because it felt like the stakes were really high suddenly.
Mm-hmm. Well, long may your persistence continue, and I appreciate your time today. And I guess people can go to the various social media outlets and centrally the website itself for more information on how to support this this film of your, this project, and to look out for it, so that when it is finished, they can watch it, right?
Yes. In obviously.
Inherviewfilm.com.
That's right. Inherviewfilm.com. Thank you very much, Joseph.
The Twitter handle is @AmyEStarkey. The website, inherviewfilm.com. Amy Starkey joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.